بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Alhamdulillah, it's another live edition of the program Revival in Motion. It is wonderful to be spending this hour in your company where together we review what we perhaps have learned already about Islam. And for those who haven't learned about it, there's always a first time, and now rather than later. So it's a chance for us to review or to learn the basics and also to look at it from a very different angle. To realize that when we're learning any aspect, any dimension of Islam, it is not merely about acquiring theoretical knowledge, but it is about application. And application of knowledge, of beneficial knowledge, comes from two streams. The one is through understanding, and the other is through sincerity. So we need to have sincerity and understanding of knowledge for us to be able to apply the knowledge we are learning. So we could have all the knowledge in the world, but if we don't have the two elements, sincerity and application, then that knowledge does not serve us. And that knowledge is something we will be accountable for to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'd like you to hold that thought and keep that thought in mind, to renew with me, and I invite you to do so. Your intention of why we're part of the program today, why we're listening to the program as listeners, and for me as person sharing with you is presenting, for me to make that affirmation to myself and to reflect on that as well. So let's purify our intention of why we're connecting this Thursday afternoon. It's 11 minutes past the hour of 2 Central African time, and you're listening to Revival in Motion. On the program today, we continue where we left off 3 weeks ago. And that was where we were speaking and we were discussing, we were exploring the life of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha. We were learning about what made her legacy extraordinary. We're trying to understand more about her personality, her charisma, her knowledge, her ilm. Understand the way in which she worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've spoken about many things regarding Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, including competitiveness that was part of her nature, ambitiousness, the love for learning and knowledge and curiosity. We've also spoken about the wonderful type of daughter she was to her father and how she was one of the earliest believers in Islam. We've spoken about her marital home and talked about how simple and humble an abode it was. We've spoken about her humility and her modesty, her generosity and her giving spirit of charity to those less fortunate. But today we're going to delve more into a very important topic. We're going to explore all the authentic ahadith, all the authentic narratives and history descriptions about Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, focusing on one aspect specifically. On the program today, we're going to focus on Aisha radiallahu anha's worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to try to understand, you know, when we talk about wanting to become like Aisha radiallahu anha, where we want to worship Allah following in her footsteps, we want our worship to be meaningful and sincere and consistent, not so? And so what we're going to do is look at her way of worshipping, find out how she worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we can start following in that same direction. Also on the program today, I'll be sharing with you our weekly dua, and today's dua is a dua that comes to us from Umar radiallahu anhu, who was the second Khalif of Islam. And he narrates to us a dua that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him. It's a dua that you would recite whenever you see someone who has been afflicted. So a person may be afflicted with a physical, financial, mental health. It could be any form of difficulty that a person has been afflicted with. What is the dua that you recite? So when another person, not yourself, but someone else has been afflicted with some test, with some tribulation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, What dua should you be reciting? We'll be sharing that dua with you coming up later on in the program. But also on the program today, I'll be sharing with you something very, very interesting. People often ask, as each week we progress and we learn or discover another weekly dua, and we memorize the dua, we seek to understand the English meaning, the context of the dua, and memorize the dua so that hopefully and most importantly, we are reciting the dua ourselves. But today I'm going to share with you 6 things that you can make dua for. There are many things, but I'm going to remind ourselves of 6 things that we should be making dua for, inshallah. This coming up on the duration of the program, inshallah. So let's begin firstly, just a reminder of all the updates. Everything will be tweeted with the hashtag Sahaba. So it's hashtag S-A-H-A-B-A. And you can follow it on my Twitter handle, Rayhana Omar, R-A-Y-H-A-A-N-A-H-O-M-A-R. And we'll be tweeting with the main points from today's program, inshallah. Let's begin firstly, and this is where I look forward to sharing with you something that's been a reminder for myself. Something that's made me sit up and think and remind myself and say, am I doing this? Am I doing enough of this? And again, it is something that comes to us from the ulama who have reminded us and advised us to make dua for 6 things. Number 1, hidayah, guidance from Allah. Number 2, maghfirah, forgiveness from Allah. Number 3, nusra, help from Allah. Number 4, qubuliyah, acceptance from Allah. Number 5, afiyah, ease from Allah. And number 6, hifazah, protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, seeking protection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from other external, anything that could harm or injure us. So, 6 things we are reminded by the ulama to make dua for. And we often hear this in Ramadan at discourses and programs. But it's important we realize that the doorways to dua and to asking of Allah and requesting and seeking from Allah, those doorways, those paths never close. They're always, always open. And so you could make dua while you're driving, while you're working, while you're walking. You do not have to restrict dua to just some times of the year, to just big days or certain times. Yes, there are times and occasions, very special blessed moments when dua is even more readily accepted. Times like Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in to actually ask for from Allah at that time because of the blessedness of a certain time or a certain situation, and we've discussed this in detail a few weeks back. But here I'm talking about reminding ourselves of basic essentials that we should be making dua for every single day. So again, 6 things, and here's a reminder to myself firstly, and to share with you. Make dua for 6 things. Number 1, hidayah, guidance from Allah. Number 2, maghfirah, forgiveness from Allah. Number 3, nusra, help from Allah. Number 4, qubuliyah, acceptance from Allah. Number 5, afiyah, ease from Allah. And number 6, hifazat, protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So once more, the 6 things we should be making dua for every single day. And you'll realize that as we go through this list once more, how comprehensive they are. Meaning it includes so many different aspects of your life. Hidayat, guidance from Allah. Maghfira, forgiveness from Allah. Nusra, help from Allah. Qubuliyah, acceptance from Allah. Afiyah, ease from Allah. And hifazat, protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So 6 things: guidance, forgiveness, help, acceptance, ease, and protection. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who make dua to Him frequently, who rely on Him, who place their trust in Him, and who honor and cherish the gift of dua. This is a gift from Allah to you. where you can raise your hands, and even if you can't, if you can just whisper to Allah, to ask of Allah, to request of Him, to beg on Him, that door does not close. So long as we are alive and our iman, that door will not close. And you know the dua made at the Hajj. This is a reminder for all of us. The dua made at the Hajj is like an arrow which does not miss its target. And these were the words of Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah. In fact, it reminds me of a hadith that appears in At-Tirmidhi, and the English translation of which is, and it was a hadith narrated by Bilal radiallahu anhu, you know, the first mu'adhin, the first caller to prayer. And he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, perform the tahajjud salah regularly, because it was the practice of the righteous people before you, a means of getting closer to Allah, a means of staying away from sin, expiation for sins, and a means of expelling illnesses from the body. The hadith is mentioned in At-Tirmidhi. It's time now for us to turn our focus, to turn our attention to the history, the life and times of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha. Time for us to discover more about her life, her lifestyle, her character, her personality, her legacy. So inshallah, if you're ready, we'll begin with that and turn our focus to Aisha radiallahu anha. And today, we explore more about her worship. We seek to understand what made her worship so distinguished, what made her one of the most righteous and beloved to Allah and to His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surely the person chosen, as was with all the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the fact that they were chosen to be the wives of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was something chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that itself is of the highest level, and that itself deserves all respect, subhanAllah. But then for Aisha radiallahu anha, as we learn about her and find her so distinctive in her character, in her personality, in her sacrifices and legacy, we learn also, and we know that history reminds us, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away in her house, passed away on her lap. Who was she, radiallahu anha? What was her method of worshipping? How did she submit to Allah on a daily basis? Let's find out. Aisha radiallahu anha was living an exemplary life in every regard. She was at the height of her service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She was consistent in her ibadah, during the lifetime of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and even after he passed away. So it was not just that during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Aisha radiallahu anha worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fully. No, it was during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but even afterwards, she continued to worship Allah sincerely, lovingly, and full devotion and submission to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aisha radiallahu anha saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as someone who loved worship and who served with the attitude of a lover. Aisha radiallahu anha spent the most fruitful times of her life with the person who was closest to Allah. The person who reached new heights in his knowledge of Allah. The person who was the most beloved servant of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm sure you have heard the instances where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed the night prayer. He stood in qiyam until his feet were swollen. During just one rak'ah, he stood long enough to recite dozens, hundreds of pages of the Qur'an. His ruku, his bowing, his sujood, his prostrations in salah, were as long as the time he spent standing in qiyam. Aisha radiallahu anha is reported as having said, "Neither can you ask, nor can I explain the beauty of his prayers." Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha radiallahu anha witnessed hundreds and thousands of miracles. She even saw the revelation of the Quran where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Angel Jibreel met. And so she considered the life of this world like the shade under a tree where people rest for a while and then continue on their way. She directed her earthly life towards the life of the hereafter. You see, for Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, the world and everything in it held no value for her. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taught her to value the next world. During the 9 years that she lived with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember, she was 9 years old when she began living with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Aisha radiallahu anha was 19 years old when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. And other reports say 18, going on 19. Most reports say 19, so that would make it 10 years. That she lived with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In all those years, she followed him. And she attempted to put his every example, his every sunnah into practice. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to his room after he finished the Isha, the last salah of the day. And he would brush his teeth and go to bed. And then at midnight, he would get up and perform the tahajjud salah, which was obligatory, which was fard for him only, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after two-thirds of the night passed, he would wake up Aisha radiallahu anha and ask her to pray. So she would get up radiallahu anha and she would perform the tahajjud prayer very often in a way that it was then followed by the witr prayer. Sometimes Aisha radiallahu anha joined Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and prayed with him all night until sunrise. Allahu Akbar. On such a night, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited from Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Imran, and Surah An-Nisa in just one rak'ah. So, if you can now picture your Mus'haf, your Qur'an copy in front of you, Surah Al-Baqarah, the longest surah in the Qur'an, immediately after Surah Al-Fatiha, it starts in juz or para 1, goes into 2, and into part of 3 as well. Together with that, Surah Al-Imran and Surah An-Nisa. Subhanallah. In just one rak'ah. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited a verse, recited an ayah that made someone quiver with fear, he would make dua and take refuge with Allah from wrath. And when he recited an ayah, a verse of good news, of glad tidings, of paradise, he would again turn towards Allah and ask for Allah's mercy. And so as a side note, here's one of the sunan that we should revive in our lives. Again, this reminds us the importance of understanding what we're reading in our prayer. Understanding what we're saying and praising and glorifying Allah in our salah. So when we're praying salah and we come upon ayat about Allah's punishment, or the way people, the wrongdoers of the past were punished, or the fire of hell, then we should be seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection and take refuge from that wrath. And when it is ayat, verses about Jannah, about glad tidings for the believers, that is when we ask of His mercy. Even The ulama teaches even the way our voices project these ayat should be very different. So again, when it's verses about the hellfire, verses about punishment or anger or wrath, then our voices as believers should mirror, should reflect our understanding of what we're reading. There should be a sense of fear when we recite those verses. And when they are verses about Jannah, when they are verses about paradise and about glad tidings, then our voices should reflect and project joy and hopefulness. And hopefulness in Allah's mercy, inshaAllah. We're going to go for our first ad break of the hour. When we return, we continue now from Tahajjud, we move on into Fajr Salah, and the more we understand the ibadah routine, the spiritual worship routine of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the easier it gets for us to understand the beautiful manner in which Aisha radiallahu anha did the exact same and reflected that in her life. We're discussing the ways in which Aisha radiallahu anha worshipped her Lord. More after the break. Stay with us.
Classic Creations long awaited half price, yes, half price abaya sale is now on. Don't miss out. Hurry to Classic Creations, 15 Status Street, Extension 3, Lanesia, or call them on 011-854-4195. That's 011-854-4195. Classic Creations, the ultimate in abayas.
Your Al Tawheed Islamic Center appeals to you to donate generously towards our various community projects for the underprivileged. We also offer computer, sewing and woodworking classes. We accept zakat, lillah, sadaqah and all other donations. Visit us at shop number L31 next to the South Sea Trade Route Mall or 31 Protea Avenue, Lanesia. Call 011-854-9510. May the Almighty reward you for your continuous support.
Please note, Al Tawheed is registered for Section 18A.
Sedgars, situated in Vereeniging, your one-stop family shop. Get up to 35% off youthful, casual, and kiddies branded clothing for the lovers of functional art. Try our Carol Boys range. Look in our exquisite furniture and linen department. Tasteful furniture, decor, and advice to matching linen and curtains. Treat yourself to the beauty of designer jewelry, watches, sunglasses, and formal wear to suit your taste. Sedgars, your original family store, where personal service is guaranteed.
Sunbeam Steel, suppliers of all steel products. For carports, gates, burglar proofing, fencing, reinforcing steel mesh, and all your structural steel. We also stock roof sheeting in galvanized polycarbonate and fiberglass. For that fantastic rail deal, contact Sunbeam Steel. Situated at Main Clip River Road, Akenoff. Call us on 011-948-6011 or 6013 or 011-948-7905.
Santac, Radio Islam satellite signal provider, has once again changed our decoder settings. We have in place a dual frequency connection period, which means that both the old and new settings will work until the 31st of August 2015. As of the 1st of September 2015, your decoder will only work with the new settings. Under the circumstances, retuning may be done by the following. Oneself, using the DIY instructions on our website, www.radioislam.org.za. Bring your decoder in for retuning at Radio Islam's offices from Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. in Lanesia, 35 Kuku Avenue. Phone our call center during office hours, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on 011-854-7022. And receive instructions on how to retune your decoder. If you are tuning your decoder on your own, you will require a TV monitor. Our technical team will be visiting different areas throughout South Africa. In Tzaneen, on Thursday, the 27th of August. Corner Fierce and Agatha Street, Masjid As-Salam. Contact 081-383-8818. In Burgersfort, on Friday, the 28th of August. At Masjid Shakirin, on Maroni Street. Contact 084-286-9050 or 013-231-7200. 07. Technicians for the miscellaneous regions are Abed Varaji, 079-810-4390, or Isa Kaunda, 078-675-5425. Please bring along your remote for retuning.
Lanesia Muslim School presents William Shakespeare's famous play, The Merchant of Venice, with an Islamic dimension.
If you repay me not, then let the forfeiture be nominated for an equal pound of your fair flesh to be cut off and taken in what part of your body pleaseth me.
You shall not seal to such a bond for me. I'd rather dwell in my necessity.
It is a lady's only event. If thou wishest, join us in your medieval attire. Tickets are only 100 rand, and a percentage of the proceeds goes towards Nepal and a local organization.
The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath.
Brace yourself for a romantic comedy, sprinkled with drama and action, that will leave you inspired and desperate for more.
Taking place on the 29th of August at the Pachidam Wall Extension Field in Asia at 2 p.m.
You are listening to Revival in Motion on Radio Islam International.
To have an idea of what we've been discussing on the program today, you can follow us with the hashtag Sahaba. So it's hashtag S-A-H-A-B-A. We're discussing more about the worship of Aisha radiallahu anha. And for us to understand this, we need to look back to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We need to know how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worshipped, because this impacted, this influenced, and this was mirrored upon in the action of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wife Aisha radiallahu anha. We said at the start of today's discussion that one thing that was very unique about Aisha radiallahu anha's ibadah was that she was consistent in her ibadah both during Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lifetime and after his demise. So it was not that she prayed and did certain ibadah only when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alive. No, but that she continued with all of those ibadah as a young widow of 19, even after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. So we discussed tahajjud, that sometimes she would pray tahajjud salah with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would do so the entire night, right up until before Fajr. At other times, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would wake up earlier, he would start and begin praying his tahajjud, and then he would wake her up after two-thirds of the night had passed. Again, we said it's so important for us to look back to how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam structured his ibadah, because we find that Aisha radiallahu anha followed through with the sunnah very, very closely. We move on now to the next part of the day. So now we've come to the time before the morning prayer. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform a short 2 rak'ah salah, and he would sleep on his right side if he needed rest, or he would sit and talk with Aisha radiallahu anha until the muadhin called to prayer. Aisha radiallahu anha followed the jama'ah salah from her room, which was adjacent to the masjid. And so subhanallah, her nights and her mornings were punctuated with ibadah, with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with salah. So if we think of Aisha radiallahu anha, we think about the night, we think about prayer and worship, tahajjud was her main ibadah at night. She would also join Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in fasting. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know, would spend the last 10 days of Ramadan on retreat in the masjid, i'tikaf. And Aisha radiallahu anha would join in the prayers from her room. So sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would place a tent inside the masjid, and after he led the jama'ah salah, he would continue his i'tikaf inside his tent. At the Hajjat al-Wida, at the farewell Hajj, Aisha radiallahu anha was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she witnessed the large crowd where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave his golden advices and literally began the farewell process to his society. And then it was during the Hajj, according to many of the scholars, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fell ill, and his society, his ummah, his companions, radiallahu anhu ajma'in, learned how to perform the Hajj and all the manasik of Hajj, the rites of Hajj. Now, having learned how to worship directly from the most beloved servant of Allah, how to be sincere in ibadah, how to pray salah, how to be devoted to tahajjud salah, Aisha radiallahu anha knew, explained, and continued to perform all the nafil salah. One day, Aisha radiallahu anha took Abdullah ibn Qais to her side radiallahu anha and said, "Do not neglect to get up at night and pray. The Messenger of Allah never abandoned the night prayer. When he was sick or very tired, he prayed while sitting, but he never gave it up." And so it was that even for the nafil salah, those salah that are not obligatory, they are optional, Aisha radiallahu anha, if she missed performing them, she would still make them up later on. Subhanallah. Once, Aisha radiallahu anha saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performing the duha salah. And after that, she considered the duha salah as indispensable, and she would not abandon it for anything in her life. Very early one morning, Aisha radiallahu anha's nephew, Qasim ibn Muhammad radiallahu anhu, came to her house while she was praying. It was not yet time for the morning prayer, and the time for the night prayer had passed. So he asked, "What is this prayer?" And with a mindset of someone who seeks to hide their good deeds, she replied very reluctantly, because she did not want to have any riya, any show in her speech or her action. She said, "I missed my habitual prayer tonight, so I am performing a make-up prayer." Subhanallah. Abdullah ibn Abu Musa once came to ask her the principal point about Islam while she was again preparing to pray duha salah. When he said, "I will wait until you are finished with your prayer," in a voice loud enough to be heard by others, those living nearby were familiar with the length of Aisha radiallahu anha's salat al-duha, and they said, "Alas, this means that if you wanted to wait for the end of Aisha radiallahu anha's salat, you can expect to wait for a very long time." You see, when Aisha radiallahu anha started to pray, it was as if she lost her connection with the world and everything in it. That was how deep her reverence was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as we said, she would perform the night salah, the tahajjud salah, and then she would spend most of her days fasting. And when she would recite an ayah, a verse of the Qur'an, that included a warning or a threat, she would hesitate. She would go back to the beginning and recite it again in order to feel deeper grief. The people around her witnessed that her scarf, her hijab, often became wet with her tears. Subhanallah, this is the example, this is the legacy of Aisha radiallahu anha. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those that follow in her example, to make us of those who love our ibadah, who are sincere, focused and concentrating on our ibadah. As the days and years go by, it becomes more of a challenge to remain focused, in any act of ibadah, simply because the world we're living in is so much about things that are happening fast, quickly and instantly. So we need to slow our lives down a bit and make time for what matters the most. First and foremost, our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day, Aisha radiallahu anha recited the verse from Surah Tur, the 52nd Surah, Surah 52, verse 27. And the ayah is, فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ. And it means, so Allah conferred favor upon us and protected us from the punishment of the scorching fire. And when she read this ayah, فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ, so Allah conferred favor upon us and protected us from the punishment of the scorching fire. She could not hold back her tears and she began to sob. It was an explanation of the state of those who had left the world and who were living literally for the Akhirah. Allahu Akbar. It's 45 minutes past the hour of 2 Central African time. It's time for our last break of the hour. When we return, I share with you a bit more on the worship of Aisha radiallahu anha, as well as our dua of the week, which is a dua to recite when you see someone else who has been afflicted by a test from Allah. More after the break. Stay with us.
Kurbani with Crescent of Hope. Once again, Crescent of Hope brings you Kurbani at affordable prices locally and internationally. Entrust us with your Nafl or Wajib Kurbani performed by Ulama and Crescent of Hope members. Excess funds will be utilized for deen activities. Funds will not benefit any individual. Contact Crescent of Hope on 011-852-7370, 137 Rose Avenue, Lanesia. Crescent of Hope, serving humanity for the pleasure of Allah.
You don't have to go to India to experience exotic spices. Come to Mars Spice. We select the best. We clean the best. You get the best. Ghana, Jiru, Garam Masala, Maschachas Mexican Manchurian Spices. Bring your daddy and your nanny to Mars Spice. Turn your cooking into a fine art. Come visit us at Mars Spice. 33 Concord Place, Lanesia. 011-854-3256. Behind Jamia Masjid.
Where will the smart shoppers shop? At Honeybee, of course. Where else? Browse through our newly extended shop where you'll find that baking is a pleasure. At Honeybee, you'll find everything under one roof. From breathtaking floral arrangements, decadent chocolates, nutty parcels, appliances, biscuit boxes, and wedding and bridal gifts to please.
Win a Kenwood K-Mix baking machine and loads of other prizes. 10% of all baking goodies. Specials valid from the 4th and 5th and Sunday the 6th of September. Try our new molding chocolate exclusive to Honeybee.
Honeybee, our prices don't sting.
Santac, Radio Islam satellite signal provider, has once again changed our decoder settings. We have in place a dual frequency connection period, which means that both the old and new settings will work until the 31st of August 2015. As of the 1st of September 2015, your decoder will only work with the new settings. Under the circumstances, retuning may be done by the following. Oneself, using the DIY instructions on our website, www.radioislam.org.za. Bring your decoder in for retuning at Radio Islam's offices from Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. in Lanesia, 35 Cuckoo Avenue. Phone our call center during office hours, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on 011-854-7022. And receive instructions on how to retune your decoder. If you are tuning your decoder on your own, you will require a TV monitor. Our technical team will be visiting different areas throughout South Africa. In the Gauteng province, in Belfour, on Thursday, the 27th of August, 1905 Sunflower Plain Street, Belfour, Extension 2. Contact 072-304-7675. In Rainsford, on Friday, the 28th of August, 7 Netanya Street. Contact number 082-967-4475. Technicians for the Gauteng region, Ibrahim Shah,
079-138-4961. Molana Ibrahim Pir Ali, 074-034-7860. Abdul Haq Panchbhai, 074-786-7860. Safwan Khan, 061-257-5789. Please bring along your remote for retuning.
This is Revival in Motion on Radio Islam International.
Alhamdulillah, on the program today we've been discussing more about Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, and specifically as part of our current series discussing the ibadah of Aisha radiallahu anha, the ways in which she worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all of them have a common thread to them. That is, that she prayed with devotion, and she prayed with sincerity, and she prayed with a sense of intensity and richness and depth that we can wish for and we can strive to achieve insha'Allah as well. So Aisha radiallahu anha, if we could think of any term that defines her life or her lifestyle, it was that she lived an aesthetic life. And she would pray her tahajjud at night, she would fast in the day, she would be connected to the Qur'an and to what the Qur'an asked. So when the Qur'an was talking about the fire of hell, there would be a sense of grief and fear in her voice. And when it was about glad tidings, there was a sense of hope and joy and hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Her nephew and student, Urwa radiallahu anhu, who saw this, and he, you know, once she was reading about the fire of Jahannam and ayah, and she then made dua, "Oh Allah, please bless me and keep me away from the hellfire." So when her nephew and her student, Urwa radiallahu anhu, saw this, he waited for her to finish her salam, and then he grew tired of waiting. So he left and he went to the bazaar, he went to the marketplace, and he said, "When I came back from the bazaar, after finishing my business, I swear to Allah, I found her continuing the same prayer in tears." Allahu Akbar. Aisha radiallahu anha always tried to perform her salah in congregation, in jama'ah. She would follow the imam from her room, which was adjacent to the masjid. And other times she would order her helper, her emancipated slave, to lead her in salah. Her sensitivity about fasting continued. She spent most days of the week fasting. On the day of Arafah one year, which was the day before Eid al-Adha, it's coming up soon inshallah, the weather was very, very hot. She was fasting. Her brother, Abdul Rahman, visited her. And when he saw that she was fasting despite the weather and that she was tired and she was drenched in perspiration and weak, he was concerned and he said, "Why don't you break your fast?" But Aisha radiallahu anha, who aimed to follow Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, "How could I break my fast when I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, 'Certainly, the fast of the day of Arafah is atonement for the sins of the year before.'" Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us such devotion to fasting, to prayer, to recitation of Quran, to dhikr and istighfar. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Our dua for today is narrated to us from Umar radiallahu anhu, the second Khalif of Islam. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Whoever sees someone who has been afflicted, and he says, 'Alhamdulillahi alladhi aafani mimma btalak bihi wa faddalani ala kathirin mimman khalaqa tafdila,' meaning, 'All praise is for Allah who has saved me from that which he has afflicted you with and has favored me greatly over many of those whom he has created,' then the person who reads the dua will be rendered safe from that affliction for as long as you live, inshallah." It is also mentioned that if you see a person who has been afflicted with an illness, with a problem, with a difficulty, then you seek refuge, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, but you read this dua to yourself. So you don't cause the one who's been afflicted to hear it. So you say it to yourself softly, and the dua is, الحمد لله الذي عافاني مما ابتلاك به وفضلني على كثير ممن خلق تفضيلا. مِمَّنْ خَلَقَ تَفْضِيلًا. All praises for Allah who saved me from that which He has afflicted me with and has favored me greatly over many of those whom He has created. And if you recite this, then inshaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will safeguard you from that type of affliction for as long as you are alive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Let us remember that when we say this dua, when we say it softly to ourselves, and not towards the next person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, protect our families, grant us all ease. A reminder again, where we began at this hour, making dua, and I reminded myself and shared with you a reminder of six things we should be making dua for. Number one, hidayah, guidance from Allah. Number two, maghfirah, forgiveness from Allah. Number three, nusra, help from Allah. Number four, qubuliyah, acceptance from Allah. Number five, aafiyah, ease from Allah. And number six, hifazat, protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to draw from the example of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. May it be a means of us drawing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by learning and by understanding our deen, insha'Allah, ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those consistent and sincere in our worship to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. May the seerah and the narratives of the great men and women of Islam, the hand-picked companions of the final messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be examples and beacons of light for us all, insha'Allah, ameen. That brings us to the close of another live edition of Revival in Motion. If you'd like to listen back to the previous episodes that stemmed back to 2 weeks back, then inshallah you can find it on radioislam.org.za under podcasts under my name. I'll be putting up a link to the podcast later on as soon as it's up and loaded. And inshallah you can keep following the conversation with the hashtag Sahaba. S-A-H-A-V-A. And so to conclude, my challenge to you today, if you are married, if you're single,